Morning, church. See you. Thank you, worship team, tech team. Appreciate you. Security, ushers, everybody. I want to start off with something. First off, my name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing. I love that there is a giant snot spot right there. For real. In case you're wondering, right, sometime we're going to have to update this sanctuary very soon. There's a lot of rips and tears and stains, and I've been telling people for years, if you see a stain on the floor in the sanctuary, it's not a stain. That's where a demon blew up, okay? In case you're wondering. Amen. That's where a demon blew up. Right there's a demon, a little tiny one right there. Hallelujah. Right, there's a bunch of demons over there. It's nasty. Left a spot, just so we can remember. So I'm getting set free this morning. Hallelujah. I want to be obedient to what God has for us today. Before I get into God's word today, we're going to get into a new series, but I want to be obedient with what God gave me in one of the first songs we were singing. If you are dealing, and I know it's going to be a struggle, but that's how you're going to get free. If you're dealing with anxiety, fear, or depression, stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus. Stand up right now, right now. Amen, amen. I'm going to do something. Okay, I want you to put your hands out like this. Right here, like this. Like you're going to receive something, okay? I'm just being obedient to what God said to do, okay? Hallelujah. Right now, right now, right now, right now. We'll speak something over you. Amen. Right now. Come on. You're getting delivered right now. God's going to lead you out of this wilderness into freedom right now in the name of Jesus. What you're feeling and what you're going through is not from God. It's not given to you as a struggle from God. It's something you're dealing with. Either it's from the enemy or it's from this broken world that we have to deal with. But right now, God loves you in a supernatural way. He loves you even in a natural way. And right now, he's going to set you free. He is leading you out of this wilderness. He don't want you to live like that anymore. I want you to say something. Lord, I give it to you. All my struggles. Everything I've been thinking. All the things I've been feeling. They are yours. I can't carry this any longer. Lead me out of this wilderness. In Jesus' name. Now just stay there, make it real with God. Close your eyes if you can. Just make it real with God right now. Make it real, make it real, make it real, make it real. If there's somebody around you right now and they're standing and they have their hands, I want you just to, I hope you guys are okay with this, just lay hands on them gently right now. It says in God's word, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And right now, we pray for a psychological, emotional, and mental healing in the name of Jesus. Right there, wherever they're standing, somebody put a hand on them. If there's no hands on them, do it right now. Right now. Release it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for doctors. We thank you for medicine. But we look to the good physician right now to set them free. We look for the deliverer to deliver them out of this right now in the name of Jesus. What has happened to them and the trauma that they've walked through when they were children may be released right now in the name of Jesus. The things that have been spoken over them, those curses are broken right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to be free. You're going to walk out of that freedom. You're going to walk with the joy of the Lord before the end of the day in the name of Jesus. Those mindsets be broken in the name of Jesus. He's going to give you new cycles to think. He's going to give you new things to think. He's going to give you new freedom to feel. And right now, as people lay hands on you, I just pray that there's a release. It says in his word, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Put it at his feet. Let him carry it. You can't do it anymore. You cannot free yourself. But right now, ooh, the liberator is here. And he is liberating you from this. You, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what you've maybe said out of your own mouth, you will not have to live with this for the rest of your life. Right now, be set free in Jesus' name. It says in God's word, if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. So may you be free indeed right now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something real weird, but it's biblical. Before you sit down, if you're dealing with that, I want you to give a shout of victory right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo. Rattle them chains right off of you. Hallelujah. Shh. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Revelation tells us it's by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb that we have victory over the enemy. So the blood of the Lamb has already taken place. It extends to the ends of time. What he has done, he's done enough. What he has done is complete. What he has done, it says out of his own mouth, it is finished. But you got to give a testimony. Amen? So what I'm saying is this. If God has freed you from something, and I believe many people, actually, I truly believe all of you will be delivered today. I do. I have faith to believe that. Why? Because Jesus healed all. When people came with him with faith, they were all healed. And so I believe that. I don't always understand why some are delivered and some aren't delivered, or some are free or not free. And a lot of religious people have their ideas of that. But here's the thing. The Bible never says we have to understand that. The Bible says that we have to pray for that. We have to believe that, and we have to walk that out. So that's what we're doing this morning. But here's the thing. When you start feeling freedom in your life, start putting that testimony in your mouth and release it. Because it's by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, that the enemy will be defeated. If you want to defeat the enemy, Jesus already did his part. It's time to do our part. Amen. Start opening your mouth and start telling somebody, guess what? I've been freed. I'm healed. I'm set. I don't think like that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I used to be bound like this, but I'm not bound like that anymore. God has set me free. When you do that, the enemy has nothing. He has no place. He has no foothold. He has no ground to stand on. He has to flee. Amen? All right, that's free. Hallelujah. It's free today. Praise God. All righty, all righty. Where are we? Praise God. Some of y'all, we had a great series last month, trauma. It did two major things. Number one, this camp, people were delivered, people were healed, people went back, and God did these incredible things. There was trauma that was dealt with. I mean, there is testimony after testimony after testimony. And then there's another thing that happened. Then there was people getting shook up, getting all kinds of things going on, and they weren't able to be set free, or they didn't allow themselves to go deep enough to be set free. There's two camps of people that I noticed last month, and I know a lot of times pastors and people in ministry probably don't want to touch on a subject like that, well, because it shakes things up. But if it's what God wants to do, I don't care. We got to do what God wants to do, even if it shakes people up. But let me tell you, there was a lot of stuff going on last month. A lot of people acting a fool. I mean, it was crazy last month, but God was doing a work. And so right now, I believe both of these people, or these camps of people, God isn't only going to take you from what happened last month, but I believe he's going to get ready to get you onto the other side of the wilderness that you've been walking in. Amen. No matter how deep you went, no matter how free that you feel, I believe that God is walking with you right now, and he is leading you out of your wilderness, out of your desert, out of your pain, out of your trauma, out of all these things. He's walking with you. He is leading you so you'll be free. This is going to be a month of freedom, great, great freedom. You're like, man, I had freedom last month. You're going to get more. Be more and more free. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to start a new series titled Exodus, Journey to Freedom. In this series, we're going to journey through the story of how God shepherds his children into an understanding of what their freedom means. This month, we're going to revisit familiar scenes. Like some of y'all grew up maybe in the church or went to Sunday school, and some of y'all have read the Word of God, but some of y'all don't even know these stories, right? We just assume because we know it, somebody else should know it, but we can't be ignorant anymore. The fact of the matter is, even these giant stories that we know as children or grew up thinking, there's a lot of people that have never heard anything like this before. It was about a year and a half ago, I sat in my office and I was telling people about the stories of David, and they were just blown away. Like, that really happened? Yeah, a boy had faith, believed, and killed a giant with stones, cut off his head, picked it up, and chased the rest of them out of there, killing a bunch on his way. Yeah, that really happened. Like, what? What an incredible, insane story. I was like, yeah, it's one of the greatest stories in all the Bible. But guess what? There's a whole bunch more. It's incredible. So we're going to visit one of the greatest stories ever told in the history of our history. We're going to revisit scenes where Moses, he became an unlikely hero. 10 plagues, 10 commandments, a Red Sea parting, and idol worship. We're going to discover together what these stories teach us, and they teach God's children today. And about how we will live as those who have been set free. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, it says this: I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. Like the Israelites who were set free from the bondage of slavery, we have been set free from the bondage of sin. Thank you, Jesus. With this freedom comes a big reality. We begin to journey a new way of living. This morning, I'd like for us to dive into the first two chapters of Exodus. Let me give you a little background before we get into that, okay? Here's a little background of what's going on so we can all journey together. Okay, this story today starts in about the 1400s BC. Moses wrote the book of Exodus sometime during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, Exodus was written to God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews. At this point, they had no sense of identity because they've had years and years of slavery. They didn't know who they were. They're starting to not understand where they've come from or where they're even going. See, Moses wrote this book to create a historical record of their escape and freedom from Egypt. But he also wrote Exodus to pass on the given law from Yahweh. During this time in history, the Egyptians, right? Pharaoh, oh, let my people go, huh? Yeah. That's the best part. That's when you join the angels, at that part, right there. Yeah. Okay. I think I sang it right. It's been a minute since I sang that. Oh, my. And you're like, you should have kept it longer, Pastor. Should be a couple more minutes. Okay. But the Egyptians, like we see these on the History Channel, we see all this stuff. But the Egyptians at this time, they were the main conquerors of most of the modern world. Pharaoh, right? The dude with all the gold, the shaved head, and the cool like goatee, right? Even cooler than our worship leader's goatee. I mean, he can't be mad at it. Like Pharaoh, he created that, man. That was... You put some gold up in there, then maybe. Hallelujah. But you have to wear guy liner. See, now he's okay that his goatee was better. Now he's okay with it. Okay. If I push hard enough, amen. So Pharaoh was the king of the Egyptians. He had supreme authority at that time. For 400 years, the Israelite people were held captive in Egypt. And Egypt is northern Africa, in case you don't know where that's at. So the continent of Africa, it's in the northern part of Africa. North east of Africa. The Israelites, they were held captive there for a really long time because they didn't have a land to call their own yet. As slaves, God's chosen people were abused by their harsh masters. God's rescue brought them out, and a long journey began from Egypt to the promised land. Now, the first half of the book of Exodus is about God setting the Israelites free. The second half of the book is teaching them how to live and stay free. Church, this word is for us today as well. See, when God sets us free from our sin through Jesus, he then gives us direction, correction, and guidance in how to stay free. God sent us the ultimate promise deliverer in Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the ultimate. But before Jesus came to set all humanity free forever, God sent another to set his chosen people free. God raised up a man named Moses to free his people from the Egyptian slavery and then to set a standard for holy living, to set them apart. See, this applies for us today as well. God sets us free to set us apart. Just like the Israelites, God set them free to set them apart. The story of Moses and the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt is one of the most powerful, most inspiring stories in all of human history. But this rescue did not come in the Israelites' desired timing, or maybe in their most desired way. Isn't that funny? Like, every time we think about this, even Jesus, well, the Israelites or the Jewish people, oh, Jesus, he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. That's not the plan I had for the Messiah. That's not what I thought it was going to look like. That's not what my deliverance was going to look like, right? And then even Moses has the same thing. Well, the Israelites at the time were like, well, our deliverer that's going to set us free and lead us to the promised land, this isn't the time or the place or the idea that I had. Why am I saying that? Because of this, you keep making excuses and or things that you think that God's not going to do this in your life or that because that's not your plan, but maybe God's doing it a different way. His way is greater than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Sometimes we just got to yield and let him lead us. Amen? Then you're finally going to get free. But this rescue didn't happen when the Israelites thought it would have happened or how it would have happened or even the time that it happened. But sometimes church lasting freedom takes time. Sometimes it's a long process. Sometimes it's a short one. Sometimes it's really, really long. Nonetheless, lasting freedom typically is realized through a process. God took time to grow Moses into the leader he could use. Hear me now. God took time to grow Moses into the leader he could actually use. Amen. And God took time in the way that he wanted to use him. So once Moses actually became the leader that he wanted him to be after purification and leading him and setting him apart and calling him, then there was a process after that to get his people free. Will you please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1? If you have a Bible here in the pew, it'll be underneath you in the front or in front of you if you're there's a row in front of you, a pew in front of you. It's on page 47. It's the second book in the entire Bible. It's at the beginning. It's part of the Torah. Exodus chapter 1. We're going to start in chapter 1. I want to read a few more things to kind of get there. Amen. It's working? Okay, it's working. Praise God. Also, you could open up your Bible apps to YouVersion, and we have notes for you today. They were late, like some of you. These notes are late, like some of you were to this morning. Say it every week, Pastor. Well, that's because you're late every week. Anyway, it's fun. It's fun. Anyway, but these notes, if you go there, go to your Bible app, go to YouVersion, click on the bottom. There's three lines that says more. When you open that up, you go about five or six down, at least that's how it is on mine, and you go to events, click on events, and you should find First Church of the Open Bible, which is our official name here. If you go there, you can follow along in some of the notes and or create your own, write your own. And then make sure you save it if you want to save these notes. Okay, if you are there in the Bible somewhere, say, I'm there. I'm there. Hallelujah. All right, so the first two chapters of Exodus, they set the stage for the rest of the book. It's a big book. The book of Genesis, that's the book before, that's the first book of the Bible, ended with a group of 70 people from the line of Jacob. They moved into Egypt to be saved from a worldwide famine. That's another awesome story that you'll have to read sometime. After their relative Joseph died, a new Pharaoh entered. This Pharaoh no longer agreed to bless the Hebrews. He actually saw the Israelites as a threat. Exodus picks up 400 years later, and those 70 people that started 400 years ago from the line of Jacob are now grown into about 2.5 million people. In case you're wondering what that is like, it's the size of Chicago. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of babies. Right? That's a lot of parties. Hallelujah. Because the Hebrew numbers were so vast, the Egyptian leadership decided the only way to control them was to enslave them. They were scared of them. I read somewhere that all the people that lived in Egypt in that area, two-thirds of them were Hebrews, one-third was other people. Two-thirds. In case you're bad with math, that's 66% were Israelites. That's more than half. That's a big majority. So they thought, man, the only way to control this big group was to enslave them. Then later, another strategy to control them was to abort a generation through late-term abortion. Okay, Exodus chapter 1, start in verse 15. So one is the chapter, the little baby number, that's the verse. We're going to start in the little baby number that says 1:5:15. I'm going to read through 21. It says this. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Sapphira and Pua. Right? Not related to Pooh Bear. Okay? Verse 16. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. Verse 17. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They're much more vigorous, and they have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. Did they lie for the Lord? I don't know. That's weird. Okay. Gets all my head all jumbled with all the ideas here. I guess thou shalt not lie didn't come yet. So, okay. Moving on. 20. Some of y'all will get that later. In this series, hallelujah. Verse 20. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared the Lord, he gave them families of their own. Stop right there. So the strategy of the late-term abortion didn't work as Pharaoh planned. He tried to get his midwives to do the dirty work for him, but it didn't work. So Pharaoh thought up another evil way to destroy a generation of Hebrews. Read the next verse, Exodus 1:22. It says this. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people, not just the midwives, all of his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. And wailing and brokenness and hurt that I can't even imagine happened throughout the land. This mass genocide of the infant Jewish males reminds me of a story in the New Testament about King Herod. King Herod sought out to kill baby Jesus by doing a very similar thing. Both Moses and Jesus were born during a time in which Jews were under great oppression. Both Moses and Jesus miraculously escaped death as an infant. Both of them lived as immigrants in a land that was not their own, and both Moses and Jesus had public ministries that brought people from bondage into freedom. And both Moses and Jesus came into the scene through an incredible event as well. Let's keep reading. Go to the next chapter, Exodus 2. That's the big number up there. We're going to start with the little number, number 1, and we're going to go through 10. It says this, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. Man, can you imagine? Throughout the land, all these babies dying, and you're doing the best you can to hide your baby. I'm sure they weren't the only one, and I bet you lots of them were found. Verse 3, but when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in a basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance. The baby's sister stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Verse 5. Soon Pharaoh's daughter, came down to bathe in the river. And her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent for her maid to get her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Not anybody. Come on. Sometimes y'all got to be more strategic in what God tells you to do. Just because God's leading you don't mean you don't have to use your brain. Use your brain. Win-win, baby. This is genius, okay? "Yeah, I might know someone. Let me go find them." Verse 9. Check this out. Not only does she hide the baby, not only does she send her daughter, then her daughter says, "Yeah, I might know someone," brings it back to the mother, and see what else. See, when you obey God and you do the right things, not only will he protect you, he will bless you. Watch this. Verse 9, "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. Check this out. "I will pay you for your help. I will pay you to nurse your own baby." Not only is God going to free his people, but you're going to get paid in the middle of it. Hallelujah. We're going to get free, and I'm going to take your gold. Hallelujah. Then we're going to put it in that goatee so he can look more like Pharaoh. Amen. Praise God. That'd be weird. Don't do that. Although it would be really cool in this series, but it's your wife's birthday, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. It's just weird. Okay. Verse 9, "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Then you have the protection of Pharaoh's daughter at your house that no one will come and throw your baby in the Nile. That's insane. Verse 10, "Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she exclaimed, 'I lifted him out of the water.'" That's dope. That's the right word, church. That's the right word. Some of y'all older people, I'm not meaning actual drugs, okay? It's slang for something incredible, amazing. That's dope, like crazy. It's crazy. So my wife and I were talking about the Nile River this week. We were watching some things and we were studying, and it's pretty incredible that the same river that was used for great evil and death is also the same river that provides God's great deliverance. That's pretty sweet. Moses' family constructed a little ark. So it says, if you read back, the baby Moses floated in the Nile in a basket. The word for basket there in Hebrew is actually little ark. It's the same word that was used for Noah's ark. God uses a similar method both times to help restore humanity. In this time in history, the Egyptians had complete power over the Hebrews until God heard the cries of his people. God chose to raise up and send a man named Moses to rescue his people from the hands of the Egyptians. So later on in Exodus, it states that the reason God rescues Israel and provides a deliverer for them is because he's faithful to his covenant. Do you know God's faithful to his promises? Yeah. Are we faithful to ours to him? Sometimes we're not, but he is always faithful to his. He's faithful to his covenant. He had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, also known as Israel. You wonder why we prayed for Israel this morning. There's a reason, many reasons, but God had a covenant with his people. He heard their cries and he said, "I will fulfill my covenant." This covenant, this promise was founded on God's grace, as Abram did nothing to earn this special relationship with God. Neither did Abraham or Israel deserve God's relational commitment. He nonetheless bound himself to them and he promised to bless them. God's redemption of Moses began long before he could even prove himself to be worthy. It began when he was just a baby. There was no merit, There's no qualifications, only the nearness and the goodness of God. And church, the same is for us. We've been grafted into the promise because of Jesus. The promise that was given to Abraham long before, many generations before, that passed itself down, that eventually got to Moses, will get down to Jesus. And we, unless you're 100% Jewish this morning, you have been grafted in as a Greek because of what Jesus did. We have the promises of God because God is that good. We don't replace them. We get to join them. That's incredible. And what do we do to deserve that? Nothing. We did nothing to merit this saving relationship, but God's grace is greater. What was promised to God's chosen people is also promised to us as well. So I want to say this, whatever you're facing, whatever bondage you need to be delivered from, whatever promise you're holding on to, God binds himself to you through fulfilling his promises. Hold on, hold strong. His rescue is coming. All right, let's get back to the story of Moses. Exodus chapter 2, big number, little number, 11. We're going to go through 25. Here's what it says. Okay, now just to recap, what happened was killing all the babies, throwing them in, all the male babies, throwing them all in, right? Late-term abortion didn't work because they didn't follow through, right? Wouldn't that be great? Come on now. Planned Parenthood, may there be somebody with a conscience in there that says, no, I will not abort this baby. Come on now. Midwives did it. That can happen now. I ain't gonna kill this baby just because it's a boy. What right do I have? Pharaoh wears guy liner, right? I want to serve God. This guy's wearing makeup just like his daughters. It's crazy. Okay. That was me, not the Lord. So that didn't work. So then, hey, let's just have everybody throw these babies in. As soon as they're born, throw them in the Nile. Baby boys. Except a lady birthed the baby and said, this baby's special. Kept for 3 months, couldn't hold that baby anymore, couldn't hide that baby anymore, put it in a basket, placed it in a strategic spot so that way Pharaoh's daughter would find the baby. Found the baby, saw the little girl who's just happened to be there. Oh, hey, I was just chilling over here. And said, hey, do you know somebody who can, feed that baby? Yeah, I do. You know, it's her mother. What'd you say? Oh, it's somebody. A Hebrew lady, she'll do it, you know. And so then the mom gets the baby back, and they pay the mom for, feeding their own baby and raising it, and then now he starts to get older. So once he got older, now he then, the official adoption or the official living with your adopted family now happens, where Moses is now sent off to the kingdom, to the prince, a princess, and to live in that arena, that area, no longer living with the Hebrews, but now living in royalty. And now it says in verse 11, many years later, when Moses has grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. So at some point or another, he knew he was a Hebrew. And he saw how hard they were forced to work. During this visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. He didn't like it. He had enough. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. Verse 13, the next day when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. And he says, why are you beating up your friend? Moses said to one of them, starting the fight. The man replied, who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And he's like, oh, snap, right? That's maybe in the Message version, I'm not sure. Commentary, not a Bible. Okay, moving on. Then Moses was afraid, thinking, everyone knows what I did. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Verse 16, now the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came as usual to draw water and fill the water up to feed the flocks, his father's flocks. But some other shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds. Then he drew water for their flocks. Verse 18, when the girls returned to Reuel, their father asked, why are you back so soon today? An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds, they answered. And then he drew water for us and watered our flocks. Verse 20, then where is he? Their father asked. Why did you leave him there? Invite him to come and eat with us. Verse 21, Moses accepted the invitation and he settled there with him. In time, Reuel gave Moses his daughter, Zipporah, to be his wife. Wow, look at that. People are thirsty, give them some water, you get a wife. That's how we're single men. Find a well in the middle of the desert, sit there long enough, you see seven beautiful women, walk up, give them water, send them on their way, you get a wife. That's how this works. It's crazy. Just playing. Took that out of context, but it's kind of funny. So verse 22. Later she gave birth to a son and Moses named him Gershom. He exclaimed, right? Because names mean something. I have been a foreigner in a foreign land. Verse 23. Now years have passed. And the king of Egypt died, right? The same king that wanted to kill him because he killed one of his workers. But the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and the cry rose up to God. God heard their groans, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25, he looked down on the people of Israel, and he knew it was time to act. Come on now. The first three chapters of Exodus, Moses experiences God's holy presence, God's holy calling, and his newfound identity from a burning bush. Before the burning bush moment, God was raising up Moses through all his minor and his major mistakes. Somebody needs to hear that. God was raising him up out of his minor and his major mistakes. He was raising him up to be the person God has called him to be. God was raising him up to do all the things that God has called him to do. God has chosen Moses out of his past and into his future. God has given him a purpose. Moses, he left a fugitive, but through God's call, he became God's prophet. Now, I love this. Check this out. His failures, come on, church, this is for us. His failures taught him just as much, if not more, than his achievements did. See, the God we serve doesn't just take broken things and fixes them. No, he puts things back together again, and then he repurposes them for greater things. He wants to do that in your life. In spite of the manslaughter of Moses' past, in spite of his speech impediment in his present, God used Moses in a mighty way. Now, in all of history, one of the things I love most about the Bible, see the people, the misfits that God uses, right? Anybody a misfit in here? And you're like, man, God uses me, right? We should be on an island, right? Island. I get to ride Rudolph, I call it. Amen. It's weird. This is my brain. Welcome to my world. Join me for a moment. It's a scary place, but God is there. We will find him. We will find him together. And we will hang on through this journey. Praise God. But all in the Bible, over and over again, does God not use misfits for his glory, for his kingdom? Right? There's often times that, yeah, he does use somebody who's charismatic and incredible and a genius and all this stuff and have this favor. He does. But most of the time, he uses the misfits. I love that. In all of history, God rarely seems to call the qualified. But you know the rest. But he always seems to qualify the called. Church, don't wait to be qualified before you're obedient to do what God has called you to do. Do not wait. You know, I became the lead pastor when they asked me about 8 years ago. I mean, what is it, 17? Like in a week or so, it'd be 8 years. The first board meeting I ever went to, I was in charge of. I was like, what do you guys do here? I don't know. I've never been there, right? But God qualifies the called. But you got to walk through it. You got to make step-by-step choices. And every once in a while, you might fall and you got to get back up. You might go backwards a little bit, but you got to keep moving forward. He's going to qualify you. He's calling you out of your past and into your new way of living. Some of you feel like you're in a wilderness spot right now in your life, but I'm here to tell you something. I don't think you fully know what God is preparing for you. I don't think you fully know. I would venture to say this. You do not know what he has prepared for you. Because whatever you think, it's better than that. Whatever is you've dreamed about, it's greater than that. I don't think you fully know what God is preparing for you. See, Moses, he spent 40 years in the wilderness running from his issues, running from his pain, running from his shame, running from his punishment, running from his trauma. He spent those years, those first 40 years. Then later on, he spent 40 more years in the same wilderness. But this time around in that wilderness, instead of running from bondage, he was leading people out of it. Your past, your current trials, tribulations, mistakes, and trauma, God wants to use it. That wilderness that you're walking in right now might be a wilderness you're about to walk into again, but instead of this time running from things, trying to figure things out, you're going to lead people out of it. Whatever mistakes, whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever trauma that you have, God wants to use it. He wants to use it to prepare you to help deliver others from it. Your past can have a purpose if you let God call you out of the wilderness. So Wednesday night, Reverend John, he said this awesome quote, and I'm going to quote you, and I hope I quoted you correctly. He said this, when God brings you through something, he leads you to something better, end quote. Church, his rescue is coming. Listen, if God can use a murderer, a liar, and a runaway to free his people from 400 years of slavery, that same God can use you in a big way. He can. But there's a process while you wait for the rescue to come. There was a process in Moses' healing and his calling. There was a process in his freedom. There was a process in the freedom of the people that he was called to lead out of bondage as well. But God is with us in the process. God is making a way through the wilderness. God wants you to walk in his freedom. He wants you to be free. Free so you can help free others. You hear me? If you're going to lead others to freedom, we have to be set free first. Another thing that he said, and I'm going to quote you as best I can, you can't take people places you've never gone. So you can't lead people into freedom if you're bound. Now that's not condemnation. And I'm not saying completely free in all things, but what I'm saying is the things that God is healing you from and he's setting you free from, God wants to use those things in the future to help lead other people out of those things. Some of y'all know our testimony, right? Some of y'all know part of our testimony. That's just part of our testimony, but the big thing that happened back in Illinois many years ago. See, God not only we weren't only in a fire, but there's somebody in there with us. And when we walked it out with God, we came out of that fire not even smelling like smoke. Some of y'all in a fire right now. But if you let God purify you and you walk with him in the fire, when you walk out, you won't even smell like smoke. And guess what? Next time somebody's in the fire, you got to jump in with them and say, hey, I know the way out. I know the way out. Guess what? If you go this way, you don't only get out, but you ain't even going to smell like it. You're not even going to smell like those drugs. You're not going to smell like those cigarettes. You're not going to smell like that pain and that shame. You're not going to smell like that tragedy that happened. You're not going to smell like all the depression and the anxiety. You're not going to smell like that. People aren't even going to know. You're going to say, yeah, I battled that. And they're going to be like, what? You did? I don't even see that. It's like, yeah, because God freed me. And guess what? Because he freed me, I know the way out. Come here. I'm going to jump in the fire with you. I'm going to lead you out. I'm going to jump in that wilderness with you. I'm going to lead you out. I've been there. I've done that. But I know the way out. Worship team, can you please come? But church, there's always a process. God wants you to walk in his freedom so you can lead others into freedom. Every book of the Bible tells us what's true about God. Every book. Every book of the Bible tells us what's true about God. In Exodus, we see him as our strong deliverer. He's the one that sets people free from sin, oppression, and bondage. The book of Exodus is a book about being delivered into freedom, but this deliverance is not guaranteed. God has a journey of freedom for every one of us. Church, his rescue is coming. Come on now. God is good. He's so good. Even when we're not good, he's good. Even when we don't know the way out, he leads us. Church, will you stand, please? Hallelujah. I know some of y'all itching to get out of here. You got like a little less than 2 hours before Iowa plays. You're good. You're good. You're good. Yeah, go Hawkeyes. Amen. But God wants to do something right now before you go. Right? I'm believing the Hawkeyes are going to have some victory. That'd be amazing. But you know what's better? If you have real, true victory. Amen? Joshua, would you mind lowering the light, please? Thank you. We have a couple prayer teams that I was like, I don't know if we're going to have them or not. There's like three prayer teams. If you guys wouldn't mind just staying on the side, we'll have some prayer teams. But this altar's open before you go. I believe God is going to do something in your life. He wants you to be free. I was talking to somebody who came over to our house the other day, and it was so good to see him and talk to him. And God reminded me of something I've said a long time ago, and I've said it many times before. But you know what? Your salvation is more than just for you. Right? You are the most important. He died that not one shall perish. He died and he wants your salvation. But once you have your salvation, it's not an instant rapture. If it was, we'd all beep, 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 beep. We'd all, you know, Jesus, thank you. But that's not how it works. So there's a purpose in your salvation. There's a purpose for your deliverance. There's a purpose for your freedom. It's to lead other people out. It's to lead others into freedom. It's that when you become saved, that you then have that testimony on your lips. And you have the blood of the Lamb that you can break bondage in other people's lives. When you start speaking the truth of God, you start leading people out. Just like Moses. Right? You're going to see this book is, I'm going to use it again. Dope. It's incredible the things that happen. And some people say, oh, that really happened? I mean, even Jewish people right now still believe in the book of Moses and the things that happened. It's historical fact. You look back that what we read in here, yeah, that Pharaoh lived at that time and that person really did this. And there was a person, Joseph, who then led these people in and then they grew and then all this stuff. You can look it up. It's incredible. It's part of our history. And as we all know, history likes to repeat itself. So, close your eyes. Father, we just ask right now for history to repeat itself. Not necessarily in the same way. We're not leading people into the wilderness out of captivity from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. What we're asking for, God, is there's people that are captive in here this morning. They're bound. They've been enslaved by sin, mindsets, sickness, disease. They've been enslaved for things that you've already freed them for. We need someone to help us, lead us to the promised land. Lead us to real freedom. Walk with us in the process of realizing our freedom. So I ask that right now, Holy Spirit, lead us into the freedom that you have for us. I thank you for this book. I thank you for the teachings. I thank you for what's going to happen this month and possibly even next month. But God, I just thank you for what you've already done. But we ask for more. We ask for a lasting freedom. We ask for the process of freedom, that we don't try to get out of the process, but we lean into the process. There's people right now who are wondering if God has left you. He hasn't left you. He is purifying you. You will not be stronger unless you walk through this. And if you just want to run, guess what? You run right back into slavery, right back into bondage. Don't run. Walk through the process. He's going to lead you through this wilderness. And when you get on the other side of this wilderness, there'll be a promised land for you. There'll be true, lasting freedom. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. I pray that it got deeper than bone and marrow, got to our soul and our spirit. I thank you that it's alive and active. I thank you that it's not for yesterday, but it's for today. I thank you that it's not only for today, but it's for tomorrow. So right now, solidify all things that you spoke to us in our hearts before we go today. God, I pray that people walk out their freedom. And when they get into this book, they don't just read a book about history, but they read a book about their history right now. God, that you're going to do something in and through them right now. Now, I thank you for the example of Moses. I thank you for the things that happened, but I pray that it become relevant to them right now, that the things that are going through right now, that they'll get set free and they'll walk out of that bondage. We thank you, God. And I pray for anybody who wants to run back to that by the end of the night today, I pray there be a conviction of the Holy Ghost upon you that you will not run back into that bondage. You will not run back into that slavery. Be free. Be free indeed. We thank you. We worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Love you, church. Let's worship one more time.